Gospel according to John, in the 12th chapter, presented to us a very familiar story on this Palm Sunday day of celebration. In that particular book, John gives his version of the story. Direct your attention to the 12th verse of the 12th chapter. As your tablets, your old school Bibles, or the devices, John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, and this is my rendition from the New Living Translation of the Bible. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A huge crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessed the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Israel. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't realize at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered that these scriptures had come true before their eyes. Those in the crowd who had seen Jesus call Lazarus back to life were telling others all about it. That was the main reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this mighty miracle. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "We've lost. Look, the whole world has gone after him." God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you presently and for the rest of our days. And you've given us this moment. We are grateful and do indeed appreciate that you have, as the saints of old would have declared, allowed our golden moments to roll on. We have entered again into this sanctuary, into this place, but for one purpose, and that is to worship you. And in worshiping you, Lord, we want to hear what you are saying to the church. Speak to us now. Meet us in the place that we are. That someday, Lord, if we are committed, we shall join you in the place that you have prepared. Make, Lord, preaching practical and purposeful. Bring it with power. Save someone today. Change someone today. Lift someone today. Rescue someone today. Deliver someone today. God, I thank you for the opportunity. And certainly, God, I pray that you will use me to bless them, to bless us. God, I ask these things by faith, knowing that you not only hear, but you answer our prayer. It is in Jesus' name that I in these do pray, and we all say amen. I would lift to you again verse 17 of the 12th chapter and the following verses. Those in the crowd who had seen Jesus call Lazarus back to life were telling others all about it. And please pay attention, children of God, to verse 18. Verse 18 says, that was the main reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this mighty miracle. And do not get lost before you hear verse 19. Then the Pharisees said to each other, we've lost. Look, the whole world has gone after him. Would you do me a favor and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach. Things aren't always as they seem. Amen. There have always been celebrations, festivals, parades, pageantry, coronations, installations, hoopla, shenanigans. In fact, the reality is, for most of us, it doesn't take too much of a reason for us to have a party, a get-together, an impromptu assembling of ourselves. In fact, throughout the course of biblical history, you will discover, if you take time to read your Bible, that there have always been events like Palm Sunday. There have always been times when the people of God would gather in great numbers and celebrate. And the reason I tell you that things are not always as they seem is because if there is one common thread about celebrations, festivals, hoopla, pageantry, parades, shenanigans, gatherings, shindigs, they all fade into yesterday. No party lasts forever. No celebration lasts forever. Everything fades into a new tomorrow and gets lost in distant yesterdays. Passover season has always been Passover. In fact, for the good Bible student, you do understand that Passover was an annual event that stems or has its roots as far back as freedom or redemption from slavery in Egypt. Passover has always been an emotionally charged time for the Jews because it reminded them of the day they left Egypt. If you read your Bible and take time to investigate, they left Egypt with a sense of celebration. They were happy to get out of Dodge. Passover also has meaning for as much as now in this particular setting, it also brings about an aggravation to the Jews because their Jerusalem was being occupied by Romans and they despised the Romans. And so for them, Passover was an opportunity to, as we like to say, Dr. Dixon, throw it up in the Romans' face. The Romans were smart enough to know not to mess with Passover. The Jews would gather together every year. Passover also required, if you are a good Bible student, you will remember that all of the Jews, all of the inhabitants of the land were required to report that they might present their taxes. Passover has more than Palm Sunday meaning. In fact, this annual celebration, as much as it aggravated them, it also inspired them because they read prophecies. Sister Scott, you would appreciate a good reader. They knew the story that someday the deliverer would come. Those of you who've been in church for a while, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I don't mean to break or bust your bubble. But they didn't see Jesus particularly as the designated deliverer. They just wanted a deliverer. Any deliverer would have done. And the fact that Jesus happens to be in Jerusalem on this day is rather coincidental rather than providential. Please understand, for the good Bible student, I hear you yelling back at me, "No, Pastor, it is the fulfillment of prophecy." Yes, it is the fulfillment of prophecy, but all of them were not prophetic. If you read your Bible, and I told you to pay attention to verse 18, because verse 18 tells you that the reason most of them were there was because of the miracle. The word had gotten out that Jesus brought Lazarus from the dead. And they were just a bunch of looky-loos. They were just a bunch of spectators wanting to see what Jesus would do next. Can I preach a little bit here? That may in fact be the problem with modern day Christianity. I'm trying to tell you, Deacon Walker, that things are not always as they seem. I am convinced of God that a whole lot of folk just show up in church because they just want to see what Jesus is going to do next. A whole lot of folk go to hand laying and miracle services, not because they really believe in the power of God. They like the performance of God. Y'all want to talk to me? These people came not because they were really believing that this was Hosanna, blessed be the one that comes in the name of the Lord. They said that because they got caught up in who was saying it. How many of you have ever been in a situation when somebody started saying something, and before you knew it, you were saying it too? You don't know why they were saying it. Let me see if I can help you along through here. How many of you have ever been to a sporting event and they started that ridiculous thing called the wave? Listen, you came to a football game, and next thing you know, you are experiencing oceanic influences. Somebody started it over here, and you got excited because you watched it come all the way around the stadium, and when it got to your section, you were ready. And how many of you remember being in that environment, and somebody got mad because somebody didn't stand up? Listen, I came to a football game. I didn't come to be oceanic. Listen, how many of you ever been at a party or a concert and they started the old famous, ooh, ooh? Now, nobody knows what that means, but everybody likes to, ooh, ooh. Am I right about it? Okay, you don't got that one? Let me go back a little further. How many remember Miss Davis? Hold your peace. Don't write me no letter. Don't you say nothing. But how many of y'all remember the roof is on fire? We don't need no, all right, talk back to me. You didn't go there to say that. You just got caught up because somebody said it. Then one more time. Can I do one more? Because we're talking about celebrations and festivals, hoopla, shindigs, and throwing down. How many remember that somebody over here said, "Who potted the most? East Coast. Who potted the most?" And we did that all night long. Eric, I can see you. You look like one of them kind who would start something like that. And so it is, we get caught up. And so it is, everybody hollering Hosanna. We're not really hollering Hosanna because of Jesus. Some of them just got caught up. There have always been Passovers. There have always been festivals. There have always been parades. But there's something happening in Jerusalem. The Bible says, and it depends on whether you listen to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. John would suggest to us in his writing that Jesus went and got the donkey. Because the text says he found a young donkey. If you read other writers, they say that he fetched some boys to go get that. So the story is, but the reality is, please understand again, I don't mean to bust your spiritual bubble, but this Passover, Jesus was not the center of the attraction. Look at your name and say, "It just happened like that." Amen. See, again, I told you some folk won't do what you tell them. It just happened that Jesus was there. And in fact, if you read the story very carefully, you will see that Jesus was really on his way. Y'all missed that. Jerusalem was not his destination. Jesus is on his way. And the fact of the matter is, when this happens,
they are laying garments and they're cutting branches. But again, you must understand history. The laying of garments and the shadowing and the showing were all part of the celebration and tradition. It was tradition that whenever a royalty or someone of some report came, the celebration required that we do these things. Nudge your neighbor, said it wasn't as it seemed. It was about tradition, and God help me, I don't want to get too lost in preaching, but I sure could talk a lot about tradition right along through here on Palm Sunday, but I'm going on just. The fact of the matter is, it wasn't just for Jesus. And I will say, Deacon McKenzie, right along through here, that I'm convinced of God that a whole lot of what we do in the church right now isn't just because of Jesus. In fact, let me go a little deeper, Dr. Dixon, and tell you a whole lot of it ain't even for Jesus. Okay, move on, Leroy. There is a sense of euphoric celebration, and I'm convinced of God, Darlene, that the whole lot of folks celebrating don't even know who they celebrating. Amen. And that's why the Bible says what God is really looking for are those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. Look, just nudge your neighbor and tell him, if you're going to shout for the man, you ought to know the man. Yeah. And that's why, Jennifer, that's why a whole lot of people don't shout in church. That's why a whole lot of y'all looking at me like some of y'all looking at me. You don't even know nothing about Jesus. You could care less about Jesus. Somebody asked you to come, or maybe you just thought you'd show up because you hadn't been here in a while. It's Palm Sunday, and you felt like, well, listen, if I'm going to go at least one of them three times of the year, it's going to be Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and Mother's Day. So you got two more services to knock off your list this year. But the fact of the matter is, that's why when we mention Jesus, some folk can't shout his name back to us. That's why when we talk about him, some folk fold up their arm, because if you don't know the man, you can't shout to the man. Those bucket heads in D.C. prove it every time. When the president of these United States walks into the room, the Democrats stand up and clap and shout, and Republicans sit there looking like a bunch of fools. But I don't know which part of the country they put their foot in, but the United States is on both sides of the aisle. And because he is the president of these United States, he deserves our respect. He deserves our integrity, and whomever we might be or whatever party, he is the president of these United States. Back up, Leroy. Step down hard. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is Master. There is nothing in this world that is in this world without God being the part of this world. And because Jesus is Lord, when you hear his name, you ought to stand on your feet. You ought to lift up your hand. You ought to shout glory to God, because Jesus is Jesus over everything. He Lord over the rich and the poor. He Lord over the famous and the forgotten. He is our Savior, and you ought to thank him every day of your life. Things are not always as they seem. And so it is, I'll move along quickly, and so it is, beloved of God, it is not because all of them see him as king. Some of them just see him as a magician, a miracle worker whom they cannot explain. In fact, if you read your Bible carefully, Sister Walker, you will also discover that whenever Jesus did something fantastic, something unusual, some of them laid it to demonic forces. Some of them said he had a demon, and the only reason he could do this is not because he was the Son of God, but because he was a demon. Things are not always as they seem. And so it is, beloved of God, this crowd that are shouting and standing around lifting up praise that don't really know who they're praising. In fact, even when they began to quote scripture, it's not all of them, it's just some of them. Just like in the church on a given Sunday, it ain't all of y'all that lift up your Bible. It ain't all of y'all that turn your electronic devices on. Listen, it amazes me how we are in the very presence of God. In fact, We are in God's house. We're in God's sanctuary. And Jess, you know, I've been saying it for years, but if you're going to ride with us, you got to ride like us. But again, everybody is not always on point. Everybody is not always on the same sheet of music. Deacon Davis, this may explain why we struggle so hard. Because the Bible says it's only when we're all together on one accord can the true power of God be demonstrated among the people of God. I wish I could give you license to reach over and slap somebody and tell them get with it or get gone, but I can't do that today. The fact of the matter is, I wish I could tell you if you don't want to be with us, go be with somebody else, but I can't do that today. I wish I could tell you if you ain't in it, if your heart ain't in it, you should have been gone long ago, but I can't do that today. But what I can tell you is, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And they're shouting. They don't even know why they're shouting. They're running down there the main street, throwing stuff in the street and cutting down folk trees, and don't even know why. And so it is. Jesus is now elevated to the office of king. Now here's what's interesting. I'm just about finished. There was a time when they tried to do this, and he said, no. This is not my time. You remember, in fact, when he was at the wedding in Cana and his mother sent those young boys over, he said, Mama, this ain't my hour. If you expose me now, everything is going to change. But this time is different. Jesus allows them to shout and sing. Oddly enough, it's something obviously has truly happened in the divine. Can I make this statement, Deacon Davis? I love God so much because whenever things can come across as chaotic, God has a way of consecrating them to his glory. That's sometimes why we ask, what meaneth these things? I think that God allowed something chaotic to turn into something consecrated. And so it is that Jesus is riding in, and now the Pharisees get involved. They're looking at him from the Jewish side of the house, thinking our deliverer has come, and soon Jesus will call a strategic meeting of the joint chairman's chiefs of staff and commence military operations, and we're going to run the Romans out of town, and then things will get back to normal around here. But it is not so. Pharisees are now looking from another side of the house, thinking we've lost everything. Look at what they say, Reverend Muriel. They say, we've lost. The whole world has gone after him. Nudge your neighbor and say, no, things are not always as they seem. Because if you read Luke's version of this story, the Bible says, and I love what Luke does for us, Jennifer, while everybody else is rejoicing and shouting, Luke says Jesus is weeping. It is a strange coronation here. They are shouting Hosanna and they are celebrating, and the Bible says Jesus is weeping. In fact, if you go back and look at your history lesson, I'll be done here quickly. Jesus says these words while weeping, if only you had known. Oh, poor Jerusalem. If only you had known. And then Dr. Dixon, he says something that really causes the true believer to feel deeply wounded inside. He says to them, and now look, your house is abandoned. Y'all don't see me. Here they are shouting and celebrating, and Jesus is crying. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you and made you a real somebody. I would have taken you to higher heights, but no, y'all wasn't ready. Y'all would rather shout and dance and get drunk on new wine. You failed to realize that your king was standing right there. How many have heard grandma say, don't you miss your blessing? Don't you miss what's standing right in front of you? And he said, look at you now, your house is abandoned. And I feel my help coming along through here because I look around sometimes on Sunday morning and I know exactly what Jesus was saying. I look around on Thursday afternoon and I know what Jesus was saying. And I want to cry in my spirit, oh, poor Brookville, Brookville. Oh, look at you. If only you had known. And now your pews are abandoned. Now your finances are running dry. Now your ministries are dying. Now your children have gone astray. Now you lost your mama. Oh, Brookville, if only you had known. If only you had been genuine in your heart. If only you had fallen in love with him. If only you had lifted him above everything. If only you had showed him how much he meant to you. If only you had cried out to him. But look at you now. Spirit of the Lord has left you. And you are yet remaining shouting and dancing to an unknown God. Your house is abandoned. Jesus is crying. They are lifting him up. Look at them. Can I borrow a few minutes? Crowds. It is a sad state to be in a crowd and be lonely. Just there was a song the young lady used to sing. It's an old school song. Reverend Muriel, I'm sure you was down the club probably doing the huckabuck to this one. Where the young lady simply said, it's my party, I can cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. And then she explains herself and said, you would cry too if it happened to you. And I think Jesus is a foretaste of that coming. Because while everybody else is celebrating and shouting, Jesus is crying. And notice here, nobody really notices that he's crying. Nobody really notices that he's broken in heart and spirit. They're too busy celebrating, and the reality is they are celebrating themselves. They are enjoying the party. They are enjoying the festivities. They are enjoying the rivalry. And that's why folk walk out of God's church on Sunday talking about we had a good time. But God is not being glorified. God is not truly lifted up. God is not truly being reverenced. How do you say it, Pastor? Because if in fact he is high and lifted up, it's not a switch you turn on and turn off. It's all the time. You praise him in the morning. You praise him in the noonday. You praise him all night long. You can't wait for the song that you like. You can't wait for the sermon you enjoy. You gotta keep him high and lifted up. They are calling him king. He doesn't feel very royal. He's crying. And so it is. He says, if only you had known. I want to set my wagon over there right now and help you to understand that this is why things are not always as they seem. Because if only you had known, you would have done things so differently. Trust me, beloved of God, we have an afternoon service. This is the Lord's day. This ain't the Lord's morning. Some of y'all ain't coming back. I know, because you can't keep it going. If only you had known, you would worship him all day. Ain't but one day. I mean, come on, it's the day we set aside. But too many of us are too dedicated to other things and too committed to other activities. We can't stay focused that long. We can't shout that long. We can't serve that long. We can't sing that many songs. I'm in the choir, but I'm part-time choir. I'm part-time praise minister. What you mean I got to sing all day? What you mean we got another service? I've done my reasonable thing. I got to go. I got to take care of this and take care of that. But Jesus is Lord. And when the Lord calls, you ought to come. And he ought not have to beg us to come out of our high places, beg us to come out of our sedated places, beg us to come out of our sophomoric places. This is the Lord's day, and he deserves our commitment. But if only you had known before you got sick, before you lost that job, before he left you, before the tragedy came, if you had known how to worship him all the time, worship wouldn't seem strange in those conditions. If only you had known. That's why, beloved of God, a whole lot of us are going to be convicted when we stand before the Lord. It'll be much like we said to you last week. He's going to tell you, I don't know you. You come late to the party. You come running in because you know the hour is at hand. But things are not always as they seem. For it is, beloved of God, truly the fulfillment of divine prophecy. I'll be done here directly. It is what Zechariah said would happen. But the problem, Deacon Walker, is that not many people were paying attention. It is the fulfillment of prophecy. It is why Jesus did things so methodically. It is why he never broke off and became a renegade. It is why he never deviated from the script, because fulfillment is fulfillment. Y'all missed the shout right there. Listen, you can't walk around saying, fill me, Lord, and you're always leaking and always slipping and always sliding. If you want fulfillment, you got to be faithful. You got to do it like the... Y'all ain't talking back to me now. You got to do it like the Lord said, do it. You got to walk like the Lord said, walk. You got to talk like the Lord said, talk. You got to give like the Lord... Y'all ain't talking to me now, because fulfillment ain't on your agenda. But to them who want to be fulfilled, to them that want to be lifted, to them that want to be stronger, to them that want to endure, to them that want to last, you got to stay on the script. You got to walk like he said walk, talk like he said talk. You got to do what the Lord said, because trust me in this, beloved of God, he knows the plans that he has for you. Let me see if I can work a little bit here. Is there anybody in here willing to admit that there came a time in your life when you ask yourself, how did I ever get like this? How did I wind up like this? What am I doing around a bunch of buzzards? Why am I out of place? Why do I feel so sad? Why am I always brokenhearted? Why am I always frustrated? I got to get myself together. But let me help you along through here. What you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord. What you need to do is make a U-turn and go running back to him. Fall on your face and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. I want fulfillment. Can I get a little help here? Is there anybody in here ever thought to yourself, there's got to be more than this? Can't keep coming to church just shouting and running and hollering and then get outside and feel like an Easter bunny with nothing on the inside. There's got to be more. Tell your neighbor, if you want it, you got to walk in it. Zechariah said, I told you he was coming. Isaiah backs him up by saying, they that wait on the Lord. Nudge one more name and tell him, if you want it, God's got it. But then notice the fanatical atmosphere. And it is in that place, Dr. Dixon, where we get into trouble, because many of us are just fanatical. We just love what we love, but don't know who we love. We're fanatical. In other words, we get caught up in it. If the right person sings for us, we get caught up in that. Right preacher preaches, we get caught up. We're just fanatical. We want to be entertained by the moment. And before we know it, we're hot. That's why some of us, when we go to some of those big time services and big time places, we wind up running up there throwing money and all that kind of, it's just fanatical. But God is a God of order. Y'all don't want to talk to me. God is a God that doesn't require fanatical people. He requires faithful people. Amen. Look at another name and tell him, I may not do what you do, but I'm faithful. Yeah, I may not be able to shout like you, but I'm faithful. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I may not run up and down the aisles, but I'm faithful. I may not holler and fall out in the floor, but I'm faithful. I may not go to every service up and down the East Coast, but I'm faithful. Because the God that I serve requires that I'm faithful. Why am I faithful? Because he's been faithful to me. He woke me up this morning faithful. He kept me last night faithful. He put a hedge round about me faithful. He wouldn't let my enemies kill me faithful. He forgave my sin faithful. Faithful, 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 faithful. up and shout like that. I don't have to run and shout like that. But I know how to worship the Lord. I know how to lift him up. I know how to call his name, because he's been better to me than I've been to myself. But I'm faithful. They're all shouting. All hail King Jesus. But in just a few days. But then, lastly, and I'll let y'all go. Lastly, there is the fury of these disenfranchised Pharisees. Here is what kicks me in the head, Luther. These are the church folk that's mad. These are the church folk that have declared competition against Jesus. What do you mean, Pastor? They say we've lost. How does the church lose to the church? Look at your Bible. They say, we've lost. We done lost our choir. Because they're singing for him now. We done lost our armor bearers. Because they're walking with him now. We done lost our hospitality committee. Because they're preparing a meal for him now. We done lost the whole church. The whole world is going after him. And they're mad. Look at your name and say, really? Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, how in the world can a people on one accord raise so much sand within the house among people on one accord? How do we engage in these internal furies when there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? Nudge your neighbor and ask him, are you on the Lord's side? You're sitting by folk who wouldn't answer you, I'd move. They are upset with him. And the very thing that they ought to celebrate has caused them anger. That the whole world has gone after him. Listen, I'd love to have 3/4 of Lynchburg go after him. Okay, I'll take 2/3. Oh, well, I'll take a... Listen, this is crazy to me, because on the day when the Pharisees should have at least got with it, they made their decision, he got to go. As I said, you beloved God, it is fulfillment. It is the danger of being fanatical. But don't get caught up in the fury. There are some of us still in the church, and I'm getting ready to leave you alone, but there are some of us still in the church that get angry when people praise God too much. Some of us get to rolling our eyes and sucking our teeth together. Don't take all that. Well, I've come to tell you, beloved of God, it depends on how much hell you've been through, how much heaven you appreciate. Some folk have been through a whole lot. Some folk have had trials and tribulation more than they had celebration and fanfare. But I'm here to tell you now that whatever it takes to praise the Lord, you ought to be mindful that he is worthy. They are looking at him and saying that the whole world is gone. Well, the whole world ought to go. But the fact of the matter is, I must say once again, Jasmine, things are not always as they seem. And here it is, as we get ready to leave the matter at hand, there are people in that crowd, just like in this church, that don't understand the moment and majesty of Jesus. There are people who come and don't come. There are them that stay and them that stray. But the fact of the matter is, Grandma was right. I'm looking for my Jesus. And I'm way out on a hill. I've come too far now. to turn the other way. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I feel my help coming. I made up my mind that I'm going to praise the Lord. I made up my mind I'm going to sing my song. I made up my mind that I'm going to tell him all about my struggle and let him hear my faintest cry, because I know that the Lord will make a way somehow. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I can feel his presence. He's coming down yonder hill, riding on a lowly burro. But that's my Jesus. I've been waiting for him all my life. And now that he's here, I'm going to draw near to God while God is drawing near to me. You may not understand my song, but you didn't save me. You didn't pick me up. You didn't turn me around. You don't put food on my table, nor clothes on my back. You didn't heal my body. You didn't take away my cancer. You didn't get rid of my arthritis. You don't control my diabetes. But oh, I know somebody. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says, if you call on the Lord, I said, if you call on the Lord, he will. Anybody know he will? Anybody know if you call him in the midnight hour? You can call him early in the morning. You can call him. Anybody ever call him? Won't he answer your cry? So I made up my mind that my testimony is, ride on, King Jesus, ride on, conquering King. Come on and see about me. Lord, don't pay them no mind. But if there's anybody that's true today, I am your servant. I am your voice. I've made up my mind that I'm going to praise him. Anybody going to praise him? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you don't know all I've been through. You weren't there. But oh, somebody say, oh, he never left me. He didn't forsake me. He stayed right there when my mother and father stepped out on me. God stayed right there. Didn't he stay right there? Ain't God all right? Aren't you glad right now that your heart is fixed? Your mind is made up. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Don't you shush me. Don't you look at me like that. I've come to bless his name, because I heard him say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. Anybody been drawn? I'll draw. Anybody been drawn? Say yeah. Say yeah. I'll draw all men unto me. He saved me. He picked me up and turned me around. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Aren't you glad? The joy, the joy, the joy. He pressed on. There is a name I love to hear. I just love to sing his praise. It sounds like music in my ear. It is the sweetest name on earth. Oh, 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 how I love Jesus. I said, oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Is there anybody else that loves that name? Isn't that just something about that name? And on this day, when he comes to our Jerusalem, we ought to be faithful. We ought not just be fanatical, but we ought to be faithful. For it is the fulfillment of all that we desire. Much like the child at Christmas. We can hardly wait. And so it is, they didn't do anything special for him that day. Nudge didn't even tell him it was just Passover. But nudge another didn't even tell him, but we know better. We've come today that he be glorified. We've come today to magnify the Lord. And our praises are all about him. And if he never does anything else, he's already done enough. That's why Mama and them were saying that song and said, I am satisfied. So satisfied with my Savior. He means more to me than anything. Look at your name and say, I bet you can't say that, can you? But they say, yes, I can. He means more to me than anything this whole world could ever offer. And so it is. Lord, you stayed focused. And he kept on pressing on. So I'm going to leave you now. But be mindful, brothers and sisters, elect of God, that things aren't always as they seem. Some folk will shout and dance, but they can't do it forever. Some folk will procrastinate in position and posture, but it's not all about him. It is not if you be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up. As we stand on our feet together, let me offer you a genuine invitation that you can come to Jesus. Because he loves you. All of those people in that crowd, they didn't love Jesus. They came because of the miracle they heard about. What the Lord had done with Lazarus. And some just wanted to see what he looked like, see what he talked like. Some of them probably didn't even know Lazarus. They just heard about it. And they just came to see. And we cannot spend the rest of our lives as spectators. Just want to see what the Lord going to do. No, we got to be real, genuine. And the doors of the church are open to Christian discipleship. I would that you not have to hear the Lord say, if only you had known. And now your house is abandoned. In the day that you hear his voice, the day that, as Paul said, the foolishness of preaching, this message confuses some, but it conforms many. Would you come today if you've not accepted Jesus Christ? You're looking for fulfillment in your life. You're looking for faithfulness. It's in Christ Jesus. Some of us in this room know that we know that we know. But it was truly the Lord that saved us. Old preacher did his best back then. The old deacons were faithful. The mothers did what they could, but it was Jesus. And then they would say back then, oh, it is Jesus. It's just Jesus. And I invite you to come see a man that can change your whole life. As Paul told the Corinthian church, it ain't going to take but a moment. The twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. This which is mortal will put on immortality. Anybody want to change like that? I can't wait.
I just believe that if you're here today, you ought not leave and not see Jesus. Just like that crowd, a whole lot of them saw a man but didn't see Jesus. And I would today that you don't miss him. If you're in this room today, you've not accepted Jesus Christ on this celebration Sunday. Tell your neighbor, excuse me, I got to go because I need Jesus. I didn't come this far for no cookout. I didn't come just for no shouting. I came to get saved. And I'm going to go now. I'm not going to worry about who sees me, because you can't help me anyway. If you're here today, second thing I would say to you is that there's a ministry of reconciliation that is a very integral part of the church. It is necessary for the fallen, the restored, to know that they can be restored. They asked Jesus, what nerve you have to forgive sin? And Jesus says, well, is it easier for me to just tell them to walk? Or is it, I mean, you tell me how y'all want me to do this. But what Jesus was really saying is, I can do either one of them, because I got the power. I can tell him to take up his bed. I can tell him to walk. I can go to Jairus' house and tell that little girl to wake up. I can give Bartimaeus back his sight. You can't. And are you jealous of me because you can't? Then why don't you join me? And I tell you today, whatever you need in the Lord, the Lord's got it. You don't have to lack for anything. It is in his power to restore you. And I'll tell you right now, not everybody's going to get excited about you being restored. Some folk like to see you struggle. Some folk like to see you down, heartbroken. And listen, don't put, let me tell you what my grandma told me. And it works. Don't be putting your business in everybody's ear. Every time something negative happens, don't post nothing. Don't tweet nothing. Go to Jesus. What the Bible say? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Stop letting folk know how easy it is to get to you. Hide under the wings in the pavilion, the secret place of God, until you get your strength back. God will. Lastly, the doors of our church are open for personal discipleship in the Greater Brookville Church. You're looking for a church home. We've been looking for you. Lord knows we could use the help. Lord knows we can use some growth around here. So you looking, we've been waiting for you. We're excited about you. In fact, today is a good day. Amen. I wouldn't wait till Resurrection Sunday morning. Wouldn't wait till late this afternoon. I'd do it right now. I need a church home. I got to have it. Amen. I don't want to be spiritually homeless. I want to be in a place where I can grow. As they used to say in the old Cheers song, you know, a place where everybody knows your name. We're all in the body together. I love the saints. I love the family of God, which is why, as we were talking a couple of weeks ago, why my disappointments hurt so bad, because my expectations are so high. I still believe God to fill this house with a people who love him. Not just for me, but I just love the saints. I love the family. Amen. And so it is, we invite you, if you're looking for a church home today, our doors are open. If everybody is settled and you can continue your walk, you can continue your walk with the Lord from where you are. God bless you. We encourage you to do so, to run on and see what the end shall be. But would you help us by praying today? One of our own, Sister Mary Poindexter, her mother is being funeralized tomorrow. Some of you may call her Saunders still, in Staunton, Virginia. It's up the road a little piece. And the service is going to be at 11 o'clock on Monday. And so Brother Davis and I have decided we're going to go. And if you'd like to go, you need to let him know that now. And we can make arrangements if you'd like to go. But we're leaving promptly at 8:30. Y'all know Lewis Davis, don't play. So you come here at 8:31, you'll be able to see the tire tracks that we left on the wet pavement. But we want to go and be with Mary. It's a little short run, but I would do the same for any of you if you let me know. But Lewis and I decided we're going to go. And so if you'd like to go to the service, it's going to be 11 o'clock service. Again, we're going to leave here and go to be with her. The weather's not a real issue. I think it's supposed to be fairly nice tomorrow. By the time this stuff don't look like nothing happened too much anyway. But it's her family. She's an only child, so there's not a lot of people to be with her. So if it would certainly mean a lot to me that it means something to her to turn around and see some of this Brookville family. And if the Lord gives me strength, I intend to be there. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Keep praying for our disciples, Brother Campbell, Sister Lawhorn, Sister Royal. Brother Jesse is not with us this morning. Sister Penn, there's so many others. As I look around, I tend to want to think that people who aren't here are not here because they can't be here. I keep trying to convince myself that the body of believers are not so weak that they just take days off with God. I don't want to believe that. I want to believe otherwise. I want to believe that there's some struggle, some challenge. We are a people of God. We didn't get here all by ourselves. God gave us every opportunity. And if there's one thing the Lord requires, and that is that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. To be sincere with God is true, blessed discipleship life. There was a saint, Adlai Stevens, who was running for office some years ago, made this statement where he says that patriotism should not be a series of outbursts or spontaneous celebration, but it should be a lifetime process and commitment. And I want to look, I'm going to add that to our statement when it comes, but I'm going to change it and say true worship should not be about a series of outbursts and spontaneous things, but it should be a lifetime commitment, a process. And children of God, if we're ever going to grow and be sincere in our growth, it must be consistent. I love the Lord with all that I am and all I might ever be. And so I encourage you to pray that God give you the strength to be a true disciple. And so pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for those who are traveling. I pray for those who have lost their way. Again, I say this in sincerity. When you look around and you don't see people, pick up the phone and ask them, where are you? What's going on? And they get that, oh, y'all, y'all, y'all. Say, no. God been better than that. Don't let nobody give you that song and dance. Well, you know, I just need some time. You ain't got that time. Time belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns time. And we don't know how much of that we got. So we can't be slack. We got to gird up. And go quickly. And so I encourage you, would you be so kind if you would just lift your hands right where you are? Just want you to lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, our hands are lifted on this Palm Sunday, Lord, in celebration, but also in surrender. Whatever's not like you, Lord, would you take it away from us? And by our hands being lifted, Lord, we're willing to let it go. Would you heal us from the wounds that we have suffered, even at the hands of man? Would you heal us from our personal infirmities, personal afflictions, things we have brought on ourselves? Our hands are lifted to say we let it go. We desire, Lord, to be more like you, to walk closer, to hear your voice with clarity, to truly be your disciples. We lift our hands to say we're reaching out to you. Oh God, that if you would draw near unto us, we're certainly drawing near unto you. We lift our hands to say, Lord, that we love you. And we're giving the best praise. Hallelujah. Oh God, among this people, there is so much of an opportunity for greatness. So God, let your greatness be known among this people. We lift our hands to say that we're not encumbered by any man. We're not going to be drawn into foolishness, drawn into slackness. But Lord, we're ready. Our hands are lifted to say we're ready to go right now to do what you've called us to do. We're free, Lord. We're not holding on to anything. Our hands are lifted because we want to be free. Lord, use us individually and then collectively. Because when the house is in order, the house is good. Forgive us of our sins and have mercy. Touch us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask the blessings of healing and restoration among those who are sick. The few names we lifted, and there are so many more. Our husbands, our wives, our sons, our daughters. God, we lift up their names even in a whisper. For Lord, you know, as their names fall from our lips or even are circulating in our minds, thy will be done. Doctors, nurses, and attendings do the best they know how. But there is a balm in Gilead. There is healing in the hem of your garment. And truly by your stripes, we are healed. God, we ask your blessing upon Brother Scott. We ask your blessing on Sister Jennifer's mother. We ask your blessing on Sister Ozelia's granddaughter. We ask your blessing on her nephew and all of her family. All around this room, we have our family. Lord, heal Eric's hand and then come back strong that he might do all that he can do to provide for his family. But moreover, Lord, that he might walk as your soldier. All over this room, people are crying out to you. Hear our cry. Now, Lord, bless the afternoon service in advance. We're ready to celebrate again. Bless the man of God who's going to stand behind this sacred desk. Bless the fellowship of churches. We come, we're starting a new thing, but it's all to your glory. We want to do it greater in the name of Jesus. Now go in peace, and we look to see you very soon. God bless you. Shake at least three or four people's hand, four or five or six or seven, and just let them know that God's going to fulfill every prophecy in your life. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you in a little bit.